This lecture is about student speech, specifically speech in public schools. Two points about that. One is that, as mentioned earlier, the First Amendment only applies to government. So if it's a private school, the First Amendment is inapplicable. If you're in a private school, basically you have no First Amendment rights. Second, I'll be talking here about public K through 12 schools, most frequently high schools. Universities generally have different rules concerning the First Amendment. I'll talk a bit about those when we get to hate speech. In general, university students get full First Amendment rights, and as we'll see, high school students do not. One personal note here as we get started, a very long time ago, in 1976, I was a senior in high school. I was told that I could not write for the school newspaper because I wasn't in a journalism class. This was a very small town in West Texas, and I had already taken journalism. I wasn't supposed to take it again. So with some friends of mine, I decided I would put out a literary magazine, and we would distribute it on campus, just do it on our own. The principal heard about it and said, "Nope, you can't do that. You can't pass it out on campus." I found some mailing lists for organizations concerned with student rights. One of them was called the Student Press Law Center, and I wrote them a letter. An attorney from there named Chris Fager wrote me back and said, "You definitely have the right to pass out a literary magazine on campus so long as there's no substantial disruption." And he gave me a letter explaining the law. I took that to the school board there in West Texas and was told by one of the school board members who read the letter, looked it over. He said, "You know, the Supreme Court knows what's right for New York and Washington, D.C., but they don't really understand Texas." And so they told me I couldn't pass this out, despite the fact that the Supreme Court said I had that right. The Student Press Law Center drew up a lawsuit for me, but my local lawyer sort of fizzled and nothing ever happened. Nothing came of it. About 5 years ago, I heard from Chris Fager, who was the lawyer who helped me with that case from the Student Press Law Center. He became a media entrepreneur in Los Angeles and was a co-founder of E! Entertainment TV. He wondered if I was the same Stephen Bates. Chris Fager told me I was the first Student Press Law Center client, and he had been thinking about whether he really wanted that job when he got my letter. And then he was so shocked and appalled that school officials would be this high-handed and imperious and deny students their rights that he decided it was a job he wanted to take. So it had some influence on him. I have to say it had a lot of influence on me as well. It got me excited about the First Amendment. I went on to law school with an emphasis on the First Amendment and then wrote a book and a lot of scholarly and popular articles. So this is an area of particular interest. I'm going to begin by talking about Supreme Court cases and then go on to talk about lower court cases. First, lower court cases involving social media, which, as you might imagine, is an area of great controversy now, and then lower court cases on other topics. The first and really the landmark speech case about public school students was called Ticker versus Des Moines School District from 1969. What happened was in 1965, several kids in Illinois wore armbands, black armbands, to protest the Vietnam War. The school suspended them and the case went up to the United States Supreme Court. That was a win. The students won. The Supreme Court said, yes, students do have a right to wear these armbands. The test that the Supreme Court came up with was that a school can punish speech only if it reasonably forecasts either substantial disruption of school activities or invasion of the rights of others. Most of the controversy has been over reasonable forecast or over substantial disruption. In the years since, schools have argued that, well, this was a reasonable forecast, and student lawyers say it wasn't that reasonable. Or schools have said there could have been a substantial disruption, and lawyers representing students will say it wasn't much of a disruption, just a little bit of gossip, that sort of thing. Tinker was the high water mark for student speech. in the Supreme Court. It was the first of four cases the court has heard about speech in public schools, and it is the only case that the students won. Since then, it's been one loss after another. Bethel School District versus Frazier involved a student council nominating speech, which a student delivered at a school assembly attended by 600 or so students of varying ages. This student, nominating a friend of his to be a member of the student council, said, quote, "I know a man who is firm. He's firm in his pants. He's firm in his shirt. His character is firm. But most of all, his belief in you, the students of Bethel, is firm. Jeff Kuhlman is a man who takes his point and pounds it in. If necessary, he'll take an issue and nail it to the wall. He doesn't attack things in spurts. He drives hard, pushing and pushing until finally he succeeds." Okay, you get the gist of that. The school punished the boy for this speech. He sued. The case went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said this is not protected speech. The First Amendment does not protect this speech in the public school context. The court said that schools can control student speech as a part of inculcating habits and manners of civility. As sometimes happens, it is a mystery what the real holding, what the extent of the holding of the Bethel case is. It could be that this speech could be punished because it was a school-sponsored assembly where students had to be there. It could be that a school can keep students from saying offensive things at an official event where everybody has to attend. That might be the holding. Or it could be that it was not so much school-sponsored as the size of the audience. There were 600 kids there. Maybe a school can say, perhaps you can say some things like that, but you can't say them to 600 kids. Or possibly it's the speech itself. If it's that last, then a school would be justified in punishing a kid for saying the same thing to a friend in the hallway, even if it's one-on-one. The Supreme Court in the Bethel case did not make clear which of these rationales was underlying the decision. The court said in a later case in 2007, the mode of analysis employed in Frazier is not entirely clear. So they're basically admitting, looking back, they're not quite sure why they reached this conclusion. That happens sometimes.